Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Indie One on KPCRadio.com. Again, I'm your host, Steve Lopez, and today we're going to be delving into the beautiful avenues of filmmaking, so all of you out there know, hey, we're not that pretentious, and today is a special episode because we're actually going to be delving into the ideas of a specific film from a previous guest I had, my dear friend David, right here.
Hey, 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 how you doing?
How do you pronounce your last name again?
Legal.
Legal. I keep thinking it's legal.
Don't worry. Yeah. You don't spell it like the word, but it sounds like it.
Legal.
Yeah, legal. And the other handsome gentleman next to him another dear friend, Andy Aguilar.
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 It's okay. I get it wrong all the time. And yeah. I've known him for a long time.
Well, I'm Hispanic. I should know how to say it. But anyways, so as I said, we're going to be getting into not just about who they are, because we already know who David is. If you watched a previous episode on IndieWood, please watch it. Season 1.
It's almost been a year. It's been a year.
Yeah. But we're going to start delving in, starting off with who Andy is. So, Andy, you're a filmmaker. You're an artist. You're a creative. How'd you start off?
Well, I guess I could go back to when I was a kid, and I didn't have the money to really afford any other kind of hobbies. So I would just draw all the time. I'd play with toys, and I'd play video games. And that just kept going and going and going, and I didn't really think I could do that as a career. But I actually met David, and I remember he said, "What are you heckin' doing? You should be an artist." And then we just kept making stuff, and we do filmmaking together, but on my own time, I do graphic arts, and I'd eventually like to make a video game one day.
Yeah, and he made the poster for the film we're going to be talking about today, which is fantastic. Some of the best work he did. Just a quick story, and I'll always love it because I forgot about it until he reminded me. One of the first few meetings we had, like a couple weeks in, I handed him a contract. Is that
he did? We took an animation.
This was high school. Together.
And he made me sign a legal contract saying that whatever we create together, if there's any profit, we split it.
Yeah.
Legal contract. Just exactly. Like his name.
Yeah, I wasn't even of age, and I was writing legal contracts.
Just like your name.
Yeah.
You see, guys, David's a very law-based person, as you can tell. But yeah, speaking of that, so you really just dove into it just out of the want and need to express yourself.
I mean, I was really into just... I love art. I love color. I love, you know, I try to think a lot, too, about how these pieces affect individuals. And because growing up, I used it as escapism. But it also helped me learn how to empathize and challenge my perspective and views on things. And I realized I want to do that. I want to be helpful in someone's life to change how they perceive the world.
And how do you think your art will be doing that?
Well, with our film that we're working on now, we have perspectives on how we view what we think is right and wrong morally. You know, what boils my blood. And I know that in my heart that when I see wrongdoings, I excuse things more based on gender in a way. And that's like even my own perspective. Like, I am a symptom of when, you know, seeing men get hurt, cry and stuff. And I do those things and I'm comfortable doing those things, but I excuse it all the time because I just think, well, I can take it. He can take it. My dad could take it. My grandpa could take it. My friends could take it. I've been hitting the balls plenty of times and it's been nothing, you know?
It was even his own personal experiences, I think, because we've known each other for so long, we've been through so much. We were inspired by questioning and challenging our own perspective on sexual abuse against men. Like, why do we feel this way? Because if it's a woman, we take it very seriously, and, you know, we have weight behind it. But then, you know, when it's a guy, we hear it, or if it's happened to one of us, we kind of dismissed it. And then once we started targeting that, like, reaction, we started building a film around it, essentially, because we wanted to challenge our own perspective. Why do we feel this way? Is this make sense? You know, right. Is this logical, or are we being irrational for some other reason? Is there something behind why we feel this way?
And for the viewers not knowing, they're actually delving into the synopsis of the film, which is known as Roses for Miss Jacobs.
Yeah, Roses for Miss Jacobs.
Yes.
And speaking of that, the core of the film is this concept of what you just spoke about, challenging perspective. Now, could you give our audience a tiny little synopsis of it? Really give them the meat of this movie. Why should they watch this movie?
Yeah, so it surrounds a 17-year-old boy. You know, he's close to adulthood, so we made that specific decision. He graduates, and he's afraid of growing up. So there's a coming-of-age thing going around here. So he attaches himself to someone he feels comfortable with, his former high school teacher, and he trusts her. But unbeknown to him, she's grooming him. And eventually, towards the end of the film, she tries to rape him. And that kind of observation from Barry's eyes on how he sees these events are really important to us, because the film starts with the funeral for Miss Jacobs herself. But we hear everybody at the funeral saying really good things about her. Oh, she's a great person. But her son and our main character, Barry, something looks off. And so by the end of the film, after we see the events, we know why they feel that way, but they've also hidden that truth. Because it happens to a lot of victims as they hide, they compress it down, especially with men, because masculinity, you don't want to be the weak one. So you bury it. And when you bury it, it destroys you. So one of the main messages, especially that we end on, is for any victims out there of anything, whether it be sexual abuse or assault or whatever it is, knowing you are not alone is the most important factor in getting over your trauma. Because when you're alone, you're weak. But together, when you feel like there are other people that understand you, you're so much stronger.
And so speaking on this, so do you see this film as not just a narrative piece in the sense that it's telling this type of story, but more so a more meta piece, trying to tell people that, hey, through this story, understand that this has to stop.
Yes,
this has to stop. This
exactly.
Has to change.
It helps us empathize. And also because the themes revolve around death and stuff. And I know it's hard for victims. You know, once when someone is alive, you think you have so much time to say you're sorry or for something to change. But once they're gone, that is their last impression you have. And that's tough, because in our story, she was loved. But his last impression of her is dark and uncomfortable.
And confusing. Confusing. I mean, how are you supposed to feel when that happens? When you trust someone and then they do that to you. And of course, the Michael Jackson documentaries kind of flooded this conversation of what grooming is and how it affects people of a young age. But it's that oddity that happens. And actually, the actress that we casted for Miss Jacobs changed our perspective on the character within itself, because she shared a personal experience about her life with us that gave us a greater understanding of the perpetrator in this case. Now, obviously, we're not giving Miss Jacobs this justification for what we did, but we're making her three-dimensional. She's a damaged person. Our backstory for her is that she's experienced abuse, and it's that cycle. And when you bury it, it consumes you, and then you can continue that cycle. But with our characters, we hope to show that they're going to stop that cycle.
Right. Things aren't black and white, you know? We're all human beings, and we all have a motive on why we do the things we do. No one just does things because they have the intention to just do it. There's always a reason, you know?
And do you think this, because you just brought up how the actress herself said a story that really changed her perspective.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not going to get into that story. We do not want to let out any private information.
Sure, sure.
But along with that, what along the lines that this person told you is what drove you to change your perspective? Well, without giving any specifics, of course.
She expanded our understanding that even these abusers are human,
yeah,
which is we really could not wrap our heads around that. Miss Jacobs was very much a villainy character for a big portion of our development, but then she really, as a victim herself, she really helped us understand that these people are somehow justifying their actions. There's something behind what they're doing that allows them to believe they're not the bad guy, because most people, if not every bad guy out there, doesn't believe they're the bad guy. And once we saw that, we were like, oh my gosh, we got to treat Miss Jacobs like any other character. She's three dimensions. She's not all bad because she does this. There's something in her. She's damaged. She's traumatized. And when we captured that, the character was so much more compelling.
Right. There's a part of her that believes that what she's doing is the best thing she could do for herself.
Right. She's not willing to recognize the damage she's doing to Barry. She's not willing. She doesn't want to see herself as a bad guy, but there's something inside her that's compelling her to do these actions without thinking about the consequences, which is often what most, you know, immoral actions boil down to, is someone who's not empathetic, someone who's not seeing the damage they're doing to someone else.
Now, because we just said, along with you guys, you guys said that you want this film to touch these the people who are victims and tell them, like, don't let your masculinity take over, and don't bury it.
Yeah.
To speak out. But what you just said right now, do you also see your film in, as an intention with that? Seeing, like, telling these people who've committed such things, they're like, hey, no, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is bad.
Right. I think it's tough because at the end of the day, we shouldn't completely demonize people. We need to understand why they do their things, because if we can understand them, we can prevent them from happening.
So from what I'm getting is, this film isn't just reaching out to the victims, it's reaching out to those people who do not understand that they're perpetrators.
Yeah,
it's reaching
out
to everybody.
You could look it up. I don't have the statistics. I should have had it on top. But there are so many occasions of teachers taking advantage of younger students and grooming them into being, you know, in a sexual relationship. And especially when it's a female male, when it's a male student and a female teacher, a lot of people dismiss how that affects the development of that child. But look, you're hormonal. You have a lot of, you're learning your sexuality at this stage. You're very vulnerable. I mean, it's a vulnerable stage for all of us to be in. And if someone to come in and groom you and violate you and kind of control that development, it harms what you will see in the future and how you act and how you feel, because that is it's a vulnerable state. We all been there. We were all that teenager going through that time period, and it was rough and it's difficult to have someone manipulate you with that right. vulnerability. It's horrible, but they need to understand that. Just because you're a guy doesn't mean you're like, you're Mr. Macho and you can handle these things better than anybody else. We're human.
Yeah, and I have personally actually been in a situation where I've been in a car with a stranger and the person tried to rape me, and I ended up talking my way out of it, and the person who tried to do this act, they ended up crying in front of me, and they told me because they just felt they had to do what they had to do to me because they felt that alone. Obviously it kind of affected me, and the people that I told about it, instead of, you know, am I okay and stuff, it was, you're an idiot. Why would you do that? They laughed at me.
Yeah. They didn't take it seriously. And it wasn't until that we actually explored that story, because for a show that we've been delving, well, we won't go into it here, we actually made an episode based off that event. And when we were writing the script for that, he finally addressed his emotions. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. It had been years after this event, and it wasn't until that we went by point what happened that he realized how it affected him. And that's exactly what this film's about. You don't realize how this stuff affects you until you really acknowledge that it did. Because we all want to be the strong guy who walks out like, oh, it's not going to affect me, I'm going to grow up. But you have to know how you felt. You have to acknowledge how you felt, and you have to acknowledge that you need help. You cannot do these things alone.
It's true. There were moments where, you know, when I'd see someone who looked very similar, I would feel uncomfortable. I did not want to be around them. I was always more on guard, but I felt like I needed to be macho in a way where I needed, you know, I need to get better at fighting. I need to get stronger. But I should have just let it, you know, let my emotions process.
And with this film, essentially, this is also a somewhat personal story in the sense that you have gone through this, and also want to ask, do you know other people who have gone through something similar? Of course, without letting out.
Yes.
Oh, we both do, yeah.
Yeah.
I have many friends of mine, you know, man and woman, who have gone through situations like this. And, you know, I know humor is the best way to deal with things, but we handle them and we need to process them. We need to know that they're not okay.
Do you feel like, granted, not to sound ignorant or something, but that event that happened, was that moment in you when you look back on it, when you told them about what happened to you, was that moment that said, hey, we should do a movie like this, we should tell the story, we should get rid of this mindset of you're a guy, come on, just go with it, nice, or that type of deal, like, we gotta tell the world this.
At the time, in the moment it happened, I actually did see David immediately after, and instead of being upset, we laughed about it.
Yeah, that's how we had to take it, because neither of us knew how to, I mean,
no one really does.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And when was this film made in conception? In terms of, like, when
did the idea... Oh, man, it's been developed for a long time. I think it's evolved into something. As I neared graduation and we do these thesis films, which are final student films, they're the combination of everything you learned, I had to choose something. And this idea had been in the forefront of something we wanted to do for so long. And we'd worked together for so long as is, and he'd never directed something. So we took it upon ourselves to make the final student film something we collaborated on, and took this piece that we've always been in love with, especially in a time where sexual abuse is at the forefront of our cultural conversation. And with Michael Jackson documentary coming out and all these things, we knew this would be the perfect film to end our, you know, what we've learned on, and kind of our calling card into the industry to show people. And, you know, my last film was great. I love my last film, but it didn't have the social change message built into it. It was very, you know, artistic. And not to say that it didn't have value, but for my final film, I wanted something that, like, would make a difference. So something that I feel could impact people in a more direct way.
And speaking on the topic of having this film impact you, we've talked about theory, your concepts, your story, the origins of the film. We can, we're still going to go into the technical side of it. Mm-hmm. How do you see yourselves, start off with the writing process, how do you see yourself creating this impact with the writing? How do you see yourself getting this message out with the writing?
We choose our words very carefully and how we want things to be interpreted. It's a very visual thing because that's what film is.
Yeah, we've cut down on the dialogue time and time again until it was only what needed to be said. And it's something, a philosophy we use as writers all the time is, if they're going to be words, the words said have to be meaningful. They have to have some reason to be there.
And we've been very combative over it, but it's only because we want the best product.
Yeah, and I think we've got it. And I'm really happy with the results. You know, it's not like we don't have dialogue, but people in our film speak as much with their body and their emotions as they do their words, which to me is my favorite type of film.
And speaking in on the topic of speaking with their bodies, how do you have them speak with their bodies to relay such a difficult subject?
Well, in these sorts of situations, I feel like how tense you are. Your body language says everything about who you are. You know,
yeah,
how
we
you
have
go about the world.
We have three central characters. There's Barry, who is our protagonist, that we see everything through his eyes. Then there's the son of the perpetrator, Michael Jacobs, and then Miss Jacobs. So Barry is kind of like the most emasculine person. We're doing this on purpose.
He's fidgety. He's kind of like a bird in a way.
Yeah. And then we got Michael Jacobs, he's everything masculinity wants to be. Like, he's the classical masculine man.
He's angry. He's angsty.
He's tense. Yeah. And then you have Miss Jacobs, who at the beginning is very strong, stands straight. She's an authority figure. She's a teacher. But then as you see her mental state kind of degrade, she's sporadic. She's you know, her head is not where it should be. You know what I mean? So,
and, yeah, we see these roles from the perspective of Barry as well. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How do you see yourselves displaying, again, the message through the visuals and the technical side of the film?
We use color. Been a big discussion.
Really?
Is color, you know, what colors resemble masculinity? What colors resemble femininity? What colors resemble warmth and strength? And we specifically kind of distribute these colors. For example, Barry for most of the movie has very traditionally feminine colors. So you're seeing him as a weak person, which isn't fair, of course. And, you know, he doesn't have to be a man or the traditional masculinity to be a man. He is a guy. But it's how we judge him as a weak person, and he's fragile, and it's not fair because at the end of the film, he's actually the one who overcomes the trauma better than the traditional masculine guy. And they learn a lot about each other. So I think we use colors, we use shots, you know, angles, low angles, high angles are always important to show strength and weakness.
And our actors are phenomenal.
Our actors are phenomenal, but
really?
Even more so, we place a great emphasis on location. Location is a huge part in understanding the themes of the film, the tone, the feeling. Miss Jacobs' house at the beginning starts really warm and comforting, but by the end, we use greater shadows to show more depth and mystery and kind of like that uncomfortability of what's hiding out there. Why does it feel so? It goes from feeling homely to dark. You know what I mean? All those themes kind of together make this film that's a collaboration of the arts to make the message even more powerful.
Now, we just went into how the film is being created. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been created yet, correct?
No. We're currently in the fundraising stage. We've been really trying to get support from every direction, and we shoot mid-May.
Shoot mid-May.
Yeah.
What type of budget are you guys looking for?
we're trying to fundraise to $8,000, yeah, which is a fair budget for what we're going for, especially since what's so important is that we get enough money to do this right, because we don't want this to feel cheap, because then people aren't going to make – it's not going to feel real. It's not going to feel honest. We want to have the time and attention to give to this film so that it has the impact we want it to have.
And how's the process of fundraising? How has it been going for you guys?
Yeah, well, it's been a little tough, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been very tough.
It's a very uncomfortable subject, and that's why I can understand why people may not want to feel like they can, you know, give us anything.
And I think, like, there are even support groups that go into this subject in particular that kind of have been iffy on supporting it. And that's understandable. Look, there's a lot of factors that go in people giving you money, and you kind of have to prove yourself. But we have 7 more days left for our official fundraising campaign, and every day we spend even doing this, getting our word out there, showing people that we really care about the subject. This is not just something we're doing for fun, right? We want it to actually be something that has an impact. And so we're not just asking for money because we're asking for money. We're asking for money because we want to make the best product possible. We want this to matter, and we want other people to get something from it.
Since you brought up how you want this movie to matter, are there people in your lives that, because of course the movie relates to you and it relates to a broad spectrum of people who are victims. Again, you've talked about people who are, you know, that are victims themselves of certain of these circumstances. Are you making this movie for them too? Do you want this movie,
yes,
to also honor them as well?
Of course.
Yeah.
All these people. Here's the thing, because I have so many friends who play these things off and they always say, why don't you punch them? You should have been strong enough. He wanted it. And that happens all the time, man or woman. It doesn't matter.
We even had one of our friends, we're not going to name drop him, one of our friends is a well-known YouTuber, and he's, you know, has a big following, and he was at an event where he was sexually assaulted by a famous person, and we're not going to say who that's for him if he wants to come out about it, but the treatment, like, if people knew that this guy was harassing our friend, I don't know how it, I mean, like, there was a group of people around when this famous person did this to him. Other people saw this and they didn't step in. And I'm not saying for sure if it was a woman that people would have stepped in, but I feel like we're more culturally aware that if a woman's being harassed, we gotta step in. But when it was a guy in a public event with a lot of people around, why didn't anyone do anything? I mean, they laughed and let it happen. And when I heard that, I was insulted, because this is right during the development of this film, and I'm going, that's exactly what we're hoping to become more aware about. Maybe this guy harassing him didn't realize what he was doing and how it hurt our friend, but it did. It did affect him, and he felt violated. And why? Of course he did. Anyone would feel violated by that.
And because of that, so this film is just not, it's a very personal film,
yeah,
but it's also a very broad film. Do you see this film also not just being, for like I've already said, it can be the poster child of telling people stuff. Do you think this film can also be the symbol for other people, hey, make films about this subject too, get,
yes,
other people,
definitely,
to tell these stories?
There is so much of a lack of media that tells stories like this, because it's always played for jokes. And that's what we realized in many of our discussions, is that you're right. And that's why we have the perception we do, is because when we don't see things, we don't really treat them as they're real.
And being that this film is with that hard, that tough message, even though the film's not made yet and we expect this film to tell this message,
mm-hmm,
is there something that you currently want to tell the audience about this film? Like, hey, you guys should see it because of la da 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 da.
You go ahead with that.
I think people should watch this film, because I think even if you don't agree with everything, it's important to see things. Films are opinions. That's a thing.
I think with our film, when you watch it, when it hopefully comes out and does really well, that you're able to see through the eyes of a young man and how he feels about the event. And if you can empathize with him, maybe you can begin empathizing with other people who experienced it. And if you feel a different way, explore that, discuss it. If anything, we don't want people to just watch our film and agree with us. We mostly want this to start a discussion, because the only way we get to the results is when we share our perspectives with each other. So we definitely want that to be the forefront. We want people to share their perspectives with us. We want to hear real stories. We want people to come out and tell their personal stories on how they were affected by it. So if anything, we want to start a discussion,
right,
for sure.
Thank you so much. That's a beautiful answer. Were you about to say something?
I was going to say, I don't think anyone alive really doesn't want to compromise with others on their happiness, because that's what we all want to do.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much for being here. That was a beautiful answer. This is going to be a very beautiful film with a powerful message that everyone should see. Again, roses for
Miss Mrs. Jacobs. Yeah.
Oh, Miss Jacobs.
Miss Jacobs. Can I name drop the link right now?
Absolutely.
So if you want to go find out more about our film, you could go rosesformissjacobs.wix.com/film. Roses for Miss, no period after Miss, rosesformissjacobs.wix.com/film, where you can find out more about the film, about us, and how to donate.
And you can also follow them on Instagram.
Instagram. Yeah, David Legal, L-E-G-E-L, not A-L.
And you can find my Instagram at the period moon period. River period galaxy.
Yeah, and he does graphic art, so if you're interested in that, go ahead, because he made a fantastic poster for us.
All right, so that was the second episode of the real season 2 of Indiewood. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, man. Thank you. I really
appreciate
it.
I support you guys fully. All of you out there, support that film. Get ready to watch it when it comes out. It's going to be amazing.
And just remember, you're not alone.
Yeah, no, in all fairness, if you have a story, tell everybody. And thank you again. Again, this was Steve Lopez hosting Indie 1 on KPCRadio.com. See you guys next time.
Bye.